Hi, I'm Than Bennett. Thank you for listening to The Equipped. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. Thank you for giving and for sharing with a friend. There is going to be new life springing forth in your being where it has never before been, and I want to point to it right at the outset of today's broadcast. I am Than Bennett, and this is The Equipped. I am doing something a little bit different today because there is a word that is bubbling forth in my heart for you. I'm going to deliver it to you at the end of the broadcast in the beautiful section. You can prepare for that by going to theequippednewsletter.com and taking in the image provided by my wife, Brooke, but I just want to point to the end from the very beginning today. We always start by standing on truth, and we're going to do that in just a moment, but I really think the beautiful this week is the word that God wants to send you out into the world with, and so I want to point at it from the very beginning of the broadcast today. We're going to talk about a truth that God's beauty and life is going to show up in places where you have not realized it before. Yes, He's going to do things in the same places where He has worked in the past, but He is going to spread that life, and He is going to spread that beauty into new places, and we will get into that in the beautiful section at the end of the broadcast. In between, we are also still going to look at headline news, but I just want to point you to that ending from the very beginning today, because it's where we're driving to, and I want you to hold that at the front of your mind as we begin the broadcast today. We are going to start with truth, as we always do, and then turn to some headline news. And we're going to start with a truth that I am calling a two-way street, and specifically that transformation is a two-way street. And that conversation is going to set the foundation for us to consider some headline news and then to land in that place of beauty as new life spreads to new places in your world today. But let's turn now to the transformation that is a two-way street. It is this week on The Truth. Transformation is a two-way street. That statement forms the foundation of the true today. And in order to fully have this conversation, we got to set the stage a little bit. I think when we think about transformation, at least this is true for me, I'm guessing it's probably true for you as well. I think we likely think first and primarily about the work that God has done and continues to do inside each of us. And, you know, very appropriately so. What a gift it is to serve a God who searched you out. And who, when He found you, He saw you not as you were, but He instead viewed you through a lens that laid the perfection of His Son, Jesus Christ, over you. That work that was accomplished on the cross, that was attributed to you. And that gift of being undeservedly viewed as without blemish, it's one that transforms us, and it's one that should always inform how we look at the world around us. And I talk a little bit about this in the newsletter version of The Equipped this week, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it in the broadcast version here, because that is a truth that is going to continually infuse our conversations here at The Equipped. We can and should and will continue to dwell on that work of transformation that has occurred in us. But I want to really focus in for just a couple of seconds on the second portion of this two-way street that makes up the concept of transformation. And that it's a portion that maybe doesn't jump as immediately and readily to mind when we think about this, because we think about that work that God is doing in us. But I want to talk about the portion of transformation that involves us not being a reservoir of that transformation, but as a conduit for it. In other words, your transformation and mine is intended to be the transformation of others. And I would point us to Romans 12 for a beautiful portrait of this process. I think the verse from Romans chapter 12 that always leaps top to my mind is verse 2. And it's probably the one that you are the most familiar with as well, because it describes that personal change that we have talked about. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So it's talking about that work that is done in us that we will continue to talk about at The Equipped. But here's the question I want to ask you today about that second half of the transformation. Why? Why are we to not be conformed? Why are we to be transformed through the renewing of our mind? What is the purpose of that on this side of eternity? Yes, we need to be transformed into God's likeness because we're going to spend an eternity with Him. But why is that transformation necessary while we are still here on earth? And I think the other 19 verses of Romans chapter 2, maybe the ones that don't jump immediately to mind, the verse that leads up to verse 2, verse number 1, and then the 18 verses to follow, verses 3 through 20, I think those verses provide the answer. It is so that we can offer ourselves, and I'm quoting now from verse 1, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And then verses 3 through 20, it's so that we can do that in service to others. If you read the rest of the chapter, and I've linked to it at theequipnewsletter.com, you find that the way this works out in our life is that we work to be an encouragement to think of others above ourselves, and that we use our giftings to benefit others and to love and to honor each other. And maybe the most difficult part of this, the last several verses of the chapter, verses 14 through 21, they encourage us to live in harmony with both our friends and our enemies. In other words, you have been transformed in order that others may be transformed as well. I am constantly amazed at the multiplication attribute of God's mercy and His grace and His salvation and the gospel story generally. This speaks to the beautiful that we talked about at the beginning of the broadcast. We'll talk about at the end, but you are blessed in order that you can bless. You are saved in order that others might be saved. You are loved that others would know that love as well. And so today, as we begin the broadcast, I want you to take a moment now to consider how your transformation should lead to another's transformation. What is required to truly make that process a two-way street in your life? I personally have found Mark 9:35 to be helpful for me as I think about how to make that a reality in my own life. It says this, it says, sitting down, Jesus called the 12. These are the 12 who are the closest to Him, the ones He loves, the ones He is pouring into to demonstrate to them how they are to walk this out once He is no longer physically with them. He called the 12 and He said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. My friends, as we close the True for this week, I want to remind you, you are and you continue to be transformed. And others are going to be transformed through you. How is that going to happen? It's going to happen through the two-way street that is your countercultural service to them. Let's walk in that calling this week. We are standing on the truth of our transformation in Jesus Christ, and we are journeying toward a posture of the beautiful idea that God's life is evident and growing in places where it has never before been. And it is in between those two things that we are going to turn now. We're going to consider some headline news. This is often a difficult transition to make for us, but it's that foundation of truth that allows us to engage with these stories. And then the reality of God's beauty that allows us to return to the world and posture that beauty back into the world. Our first story of the day is a significant escalation in the war between Israel and Hamas, and it's actually the direct involvement of Iran. Over the weekend, Iran fired more than 300 drones and missiles into Israel, and most of those strikes were mitigated or interrupted by the missile defense system that Israel has and that its allies, including the United States, helped them deploy. So the damage was mitigated to a large extent. There were some injuries, there was some damage, but most of the destruction was interrupted. Now, Iran described the attacks as retaliatory. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu convened his cabinet and said that there would be a response from Israel. The U.S. President Joe Biden condemned the Iranian attacks, but he discouraged Israel from conducting a retaliatory strike. Now, there are a few things about this as we discuss how we as Jesus followers should interact with it that we do need to be reminded of. And I think the first is that this was the first direct engagement from Iran in this war, but it was not their first involvement. And we have talked about this before, but Iran is the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world, and Hamas is one of its most known and most used proxies for violence. And so even dating back to the October 7th, 2023 attacks from Hamas into Israel, Iran really was implicated in those. They are a sponsor of Hamas, and it is really difficult to pull them apart. Even so, this was their first direct engagement, and so it is definitely an escalation of this war. And I would encourage you to go to the newsletter version at theequippednewsletter.com and pull up a link to our very first framework that we put forward for how we as Jesus followers should deal with the tension of interacting with this story in a way that applies biblical truth. One of those principles in that framework that you will find dating all the way back to October was that the actions or inactions of world powers, and I think disproportionately so, the world superpower, the United States, those actions or inactions directly impact what happens in a story like this. And so when we see the United States specifically encouraging or discouraging a response from Israel, or maybe when we see them having a certain kind of relationship with Iran, it impacts how emboldened that world actor is on either side. It emboldens maybe the actions of Iran, and it maybe discourages a response from the state of Israel. Those actions by the world's powers, and specifically the world's superpowers, have a direct impact on a story like this. I want to drill down a little more specifically. For us as individuals, for us collectively as the equipped, we need to continue to stand on truth in all aspects of this story. And I really think this is a very good time to again read that entire framework. It's very short. It's 4 points. It's linked to at theequippednewsletter.com. But there is a tension within those biblical parameters and biblical principles that our framework brings to light. And we need to work to hold that tension and to find the beautiful in the midst of all of this strife. I'll just be very honest. This is a tragic story. It is a story that actually invokes a lot of, I think, direct evil. And it is a story that is particularly difficult to find beauty in. But I think if we look through this framework and we can be reminded of God's loving covenant, it's a covenant that was first offered to the Jewish people, but now it is offered to each of us who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I think if we do that, if we focus on those reminders and we hold them together in tension, it offers an intensely beautiful picture of that day that is coming when all of this wrong is going to be made gloriously right for all of eternity. Hi, Faith Radio family. Than Bennett here with a special invitation for you. So much in our world today is screaming for us to be consumed by fear and division and brokenness. But the promise of the gospel means that our foundation is secure. We should live not from a place of fear, but instead our lives should be marked with power and with love and with sound minds. And so every week I'm sending out the Equipped newsletter. Every issue opens with truth from God's Word. From that vantage point of truth, we look at a handful of current events in our world. We do it not to simply consume information, but we do it looking for opportunities for the gospel of Jesus Christ to inject love and healing and redemption into those who need it. We close every issue with a simple reminder of something that is beautiful in our world. I want to invite you to join our community. You can sign up at theequippednewsletter.com. That'll trigger an email back to you. Just click to confirm. Again, it's theequippednewsletter.com. I'll see you there.
Speaking
Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, Mike Johnson, has at long last announced his plan for moving forward on a number of national security and foreign aid matters. This is an issue that has proven difficult for him to move forward and try to figure out how to navigate a very slim majority in the House of Representatives. He has announced that the House is going to consider four separate packages that are going to be governed by one rule. We don't have to get into all the details, but basically it means the House will approve one rule and then we'll take separate votes on four different issues. Number one, funding for Israel. Number two, funding for Ukraine. Number three, funding for Taiwan. And number four, a bit of a catch-all measure that includes things like the authority to seize Russian assets, structuring some of the Ukrainian aid as loans, and also sanctions on Iran. Also, possibly some legislation involving restrictions on TikTok. So sort of a catch-all package for number four. This is his plan to try to get votes in the House on each of these measures and send the ones that pass over to the Senate to be sent along to President Joe Biden for his signature. I just want to quickly mention a couple of things for how we should interact with this story as Jesus followers. First of all, it's important to understand that the very thin majorities in both the United States House and the United States Senate make moving any kind of foreign aid very, very difficult. And there's probably a wide array of opinions within our community here at The Equipped on whether or not foreign aid should move and which foreign aid should move. And I just want to remind us of a couple of things around this. Number one, it is such a blessing of liberty to live in a time and a place where this kind of public debate and dissent is permitted and protected. That has not been the norm across the history of human civilization, and it's not the case in many places in the world today. And so I just want us to acknowledge that. This can be difficult to navigate, but that ability to debate and dissent is actually a blessing of liberty, and I think we should be grateful for it today. Second, I really want to encourage us. Let's work very hard to consider each of these issues on their merits. Let's consider the merits of the debate more than we consider the palace intrigue that surrounds them. If you look at stories and the coverage of this, you're going to find, you know, what does this mean for Speaker Johnson? Or what does this mean for President Biden? That is just not nearly as important as the merits that undergird each of these issues. And I want to encourage us as The Equipped to consider each of these issues on their merits and be less concerned about the political ramifications that come from each of them. We gather each week here as The Equipped to intentionally engage with these difficult issues, but we do it to engage with them in a way that is unique and that is through a gospel-centric frame. And by doing that, we are afforded this posture that is liberating, and it frees us from fear and infuses us with power, love, and sound thinking. And I think this particular story gives us a specific opportunity to do just that. I love the Olympic Games. Some of my earliest memories actually are of big Olympic moments, big Olympic heroes. I love the games. There are going to be more games this year. They're going to be held in Paris. They actually kick off on July 26th, 2024. But in a sense, they have started now, and it's our third and final story of the day. The Olympic torch, the Olympic flame, they call it the eternal flame. It has actually been lit in Olympia, Greece. It will travel over the next several weeks to Paris, France, arriving for the opening ceremonies in July. And there's a lot of symbolism for the Olympic torch, the Olympic flame. And, you know, some of the symbolism is rooted in things that we can apply to our lives. Some of the things, maybe not so much. But it reminded me today, this week, of how this same symbolism is actually used all throughout Scripture to describe various components of God's character and who He is. Number one, God is described as a consuming fire. That's in Deuteronomy and Hebrews. Number two, God's judgment is described as an eternal fire. Matthew 25, Jude 1, many other places. Number three, we are inspired by those who have gone before us in the faith. Hebrews 12 describes them as a great cloud of witnesses, just like the eternal flame is supposed to hearken back to the ancient Olympics and tie them to today's games. There is a symbolism there that I think applies to us as Jesus followers as well. And so as we watch this story unfold, as we enjoy the games in Paris over the summer, let's be reminded that we have a God who is eternal and that has provided us rescue from eternal judgment, and let's draw inspiration from the Jesus followers that have gone before us. I have been so looking forward to this edition of The Beautiful because there is a word that God has put in my heart, and I believe that it is a word for you today. I believe it's actually a word for His entire church, for all of us who follow Jesus and who are loved deeply by the Creator. I know it's a message that has been and continues to be for me, and I believe it is for you this week as well, and so I'm eager to get to it. I want you to go to theequippednewsletter.com and view the image that my wife Brooke provided for this segment. I think it illustrates beautifully this message that God has for us. But I want to jump right in. You know, if you look around your world right now in springtime, you are going to see evidence of life springing forth seemingly from nothing. And that's not new. We always take joy in the beauty of spring as life comes back. But there's a couple of concepts that I don't want us to miss this year as we take that in. First of all, is the concept that life is specifically emerging from a death that occurred last autumn. That the death of the plants and the trees and the flowers and the blooms last season are directly producing the life that is springing forth this spring. But there's a second component of this that I really want us to think about and to dwell on and to meditate on this week. And that is the spread of that beauty, because life is not just springing forth where it once was. Yes, we are seeing that. You are seeing trees and plants and flowers bloom where they were last autumn. But it is also spreading. You are seeing life spring forth where it has never before been. And that spread is directly due to that death that happened last autumn. Without that death and the spread of the seed and the spread of the generational increase that God provides and that has been a part of His plan of creation, you would not be seeing that life evidenced in nature in places where it has never been before. And here's the word for us today. That is true for you as well. I know that there was once death in your life. There was once death in my life as well. And to be honest with you, this is a seasonal occurrence. There is still death occurring in your life. There is still death occurring in mine. But here's the word that I want us to stand on today. That winter is gone. And the spring of God and of God's rebirth in you, it has come. And it is evident in new places where it has never before been. Praise God and hallelujah. I want to encourage you to be reminded of this truth as you see color blossom in new places around you. And then I want you to do something that comes directly out of Song of Songs. This is the most intimate book in our Bible. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of times I have difficulty applying the intimate language of this book to my relationship with Jesus Christ. And but today in this concept, I think this passage from Song of Songs 2:10-13 speaks so plainly and clearly to this work that God wants to do in your life. He wants to bring life not only where it has been in the past, He wants to bring that back to life. He also wants to bring it to places where it has never before been. I want you to listen to this. My beloved spoke and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone." That death is behind you, and actually the raining and the feeding of the new life has already occurred as well. It goes on, flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. And here's the line that I want you to take note of. All of that rebirth has happened. All of that spread of what he wants to do in your life is occurring. And here's his invitation to you. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. Song of Songs 2:10-13. So as you notice new blossoms, new life this spring, and you notice the spread, I want you to take note of how it has spread in your life as well to places where it has never before been. And then I want you to arise and to journey with the beloved of your soul into it. I'm Than Bennett. We together are the equipped, and I will talk with you again next week. Thank you for listening to this conversation from The Equipped. These conversations are available because of your support. Become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes, and share it with friends so together we can stay informed and be equipped to serve.